Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Breaking news. The Fed comes out and says that they're going to try to do $95 billion a month in quantitative tightening. Not quantitative easing, quantitative tightening. So the Fed minutes just came out and revealed that the Fed board or the FOMC is discussing reducing the size of the Fed's balance sheet by $95 billion a month. That would be $60 billion in treasuries and $35 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities. Let's dive into the article right now and think through the potential ramifications. This from CNBC. We've got Fed officials plan to shrink the balance sheet by $95 billion a month. That is really a staggering number when you think about it, especially when I show you a chart of how the S&P 500 has correlated almost directly to like a 90% correlation rate to the Fed's balance sheet. But more on that in a moment here. Key points: Fed officials reach consensus at their March meeting. And again, these minutes just came out, guys, that they would begin reducing the central bank's balance sheet by $95 billion a month, likely beginning in May. Oh, next month. So you wonder why the yield curve has inverted. Next key talking point: there are also strong indications that half a percentage point, 50 basis point hikes are in the near future. So they're going to start raising not by 25 basis points, but by 50 basis points while they're doing $95 billion a month in quantitative tightening, not quantitative easing. So what, getting into the meat of the article, I've got some highlighted paragraphs here that I want to really go over and kind of think through these out loud with you guys on the live stream, because this is really just incredible stuff that we're living through. Officials generally agreed that a maximum, so they're saying a maximum amount. So I think they're giving themselves kind of some wiggle room to back down if they see the market completely collapsing. So the maximum of $60 billion treasuries and $35 billion in mortgage-backed securities would be allowed to roll off, phased in over 3 months, likely starting in May. Okay, so this starts in May. They're not planning on doing the full 95 in May. That would be about double the rate of the last effort, which did what? By the way, you guys remember what happened last time they did QT? What happened in the stock market? Plummet. Yeah, that's right. So now they're doing, or they're most likely going to do double the rate, double the speed at which they did QT starting 2017, which resulted in a stock market crash, I believe, of over 20%, maybe 20, 25%. The taper tantrum, if you remember that. And represents part of a historic switch from ultra-easy monetary policy. And again, guys, I want to remind you, this is happening. They're doing this while the twos and tens just inverted. The two-year treasury and the 10-year treasury just inverted, along with pretty much the entire curve past the two-year mark. So the two-year is higher, or was, higher than the 10-year, higher than the 30-year. The 5-year is higher than the 30-year. And with the, I mean, this is the number one recession indicator of all time, an inverted yield curve. And the Fed, in light of that, is talking about jacking rates 50% or 50 basis points per meeting and $95 billion a month in QT. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but boy, oh boy, you're creating what could be a perfect storm. We'll have to see how it plays out for assets, namely the stock market and maybe even the housing market. I mean, the stock market goes down by 50%. I don't know how that cannot affect the housing market as far as aggregate demand. I know that there is a very limited supply, so it is different than, or that component of it is different than prior to the GFC, where we are oversupplied. But at a certain point, aggregate demand can decrease to a point where it starts to affect nominal prices, meaning they're going down. Now, as far as the housing market, I've been predicting that prices will come down. They have to come back down to where they were in 2012. But I've always said, I don't know whether they're coming down in nominal terms or maybe they just come down in real terms. I think that if you measured for the appropriate rate of inflation, that real prices of homes actually have come down over the past, call it, if you take the aggregate total of the last 3 years. But moving back to the article, the minutes, though, pointed to potential rate hikes of 50 basis points, like we were saying, upcoming meetings, a level consistent with market pricing for the May vote. In fact, there are considerable sentiment to go higher last month. Uncertainty over the Ukraine ordeal deterred some officials from going with a 50 basis point move. Many participants noted that one or more 50 basis point increases in target range would be appropriate in future meetings, particularly if inflation pressures remained elevated or intensified. So what this is telling me is, well, let's go back. And a month or two, we were wondering, okay, well, what's the Fed going to choose? Are they going to choose to fight inflation and crash the stock market? Or are they going to go ahead and let inflation run and prop up the stock market? Well, I think what they're telling you here is what we've been talking about more recently. And this is that they'll most likely just keep raising until they break something. And the big question there is, at what point do things start to break? There's definitely a level. I mean, it's not like they can take rates to 5% without crashing the stock market or crashing the economy or both. What level? How far do we go? I don't know, but there is a line in the sand, and it sounds like the Fed is going to try to find that line. Going back to the article, the balance sheet rundown will see the Fed allowing a capped level of proceeds from maturing securities to roll off each month while reinvesting the rest. Holding short-term T-bills would be targeted as they are highly valued as safe and liquid assets. So here's something that actually could benefit the markets, at least the dollar funding markets, and that is the Fed will no longer be buying enough T-bills to maintain the size of their balance sheet. So I should back up here just to explain this to you guys. And if you missed my conversation I had regarding this quantitative tightening with Joseph Wang, who actually was in charge of the last round of quantitative tightening when he was at the New York Fed's trading desk, he said they don't really sell treasuries. What they do is they just allow certain treasuries to run off their balance sheet. So they don't roll over the debt. So let's just assume that the Fed has two treasuries, just to make it easy. And one of those treasuries is maturing tomorrow. Well, even if they wanted to maintain the size of their balance sheet, what they would do is the government would pay them back tomorrow the full principal, and or if it's a T-bill, you know, the principal plus interest. And then the Fed would just buy another one to replace the one that matured. So then their balance sheet stays at the same level. Now, if they're doing quantitative easing, then if something matured, then they'd buy, let's say, two of those treasuries. So their balance sheet actually increased. They would buy two for the one that rolled off or the one that matured. But now what they're doing is, let's say they've got two treasuries, one T-bill, one T-bond. And let's see, that T-bond matures tomorrow, then they're not going to buy anything. So their balance sheet goes from two treasuries down to one treasury. So what they're saying here is they're going to try to target the maturities of, if it's 95 or 60 billion with treasuries a month, they're going to try to focus on the shorter term T-bills, because I think they're kind of giving a nod to Jeff Snyder, and that they're acknowledging that that is the most pristine collateral for markets, dollar funding markets, such as repo. So that, I guess, would be a positive compared to kind of a lot of these headwinds that the Fed could be creating for the stock market and the economy. And that tailwind, if you're not following me, is basically that there could be more of the pristine collateral circulating with the financial institutions for repo. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow rebel capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Whether the runoff actually will hit $95 billion, however, is still the question. Mortgage-backed securities demand is muted now with refinancing activity low and mortgage rates rising past 5%. Whoa, I didn't know they went past 5%. Wow, that's big news. Last time I did a whiteboard video on this, what was it, last week, the week prior, they're at 4.77. Now they're over 5%. So again, guys, that's reducing purchasing power for new home buyers significantly. So what happens when the Fed is no longer buying these mortgage-backed securities? I mean, they're buying enough right now to maintain the size of their balance sheet. They're not adding to the balance sheet. That's tapering down to zero. But again, that doesn't mean that they're not buying them. Once they start rolling them off, that means they're no longer buying them at all, which means all those mortgage-backed securities would have to be absorbed by the private sector. And if you're someone in the private sector, if you're running a hedge fund, if you're running a pension fund, are you going to buy a mortgage-backed security if it's paying you 5% with inflation at 8% or 7.9? Absolutely not. So the risk premium most likely increases if you don't have the Fed backstopping the market. And if the risk premium has to increase, and so does the mortgage rate, even the delta between LIBOR or SOFR or whatever they're using, and the actual rate that the end borrower has when they go to buy that house. The Fed expanded its holdings to about $9 trillion. This is the size of their balance sheet, or more than double during the monthly bond purchase of the wake of the Cerveza sickness. Those purchases ended a month ago. So again, that's kind of a misleading statement, that the purchases didn't really end a month ago. It's just they stopped buying to the degree to which it expanded the size of the balance sheet. They still have to buy because to maintain the size of the balance sheet, if there's treasuries that they have that are maturing, they have to buy more to make up for those that where they're being paid back. I think you guys get that. So despite evidence of roaring inflation higher than anything the United States has seen since the early 1980s, a surge that then Fed Chairman Paul Volcker quelled by dragging the economy into recession. So that's one thing that I wanted to point out is if you go back and look at a chart of Fed funds relative to recessions, just try to figure out really quick, and you'll be able to figure out this, you'll be able to figure this out very quick, is how many times has the Fed been able to increase interest rates or go into an interest rate hiking cycle to try to defeat deflation without causing a recession? Cue the Jeopardy music. I think most of you have guessed zero times, and you would be correct. I don't have the chart in front of me, but if my memory serves me well, at least it's 90, 95% of the time when the Fed does this rate hiking cycle, bam, you get a recession as a result. Unfortunately, there's more to the story. Let's look at a chart of the Fed's balance sheet relative or versus the S&P 500. And the Fed's balance sheet is in orange and the S&P 500 is in black or dark gray. And so, I mean, you see the market come crashing down in the GFC 2009, 2008. What happens? Fed starts QE1. What happens to the market? Boom, starts to rebound up, 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 follows the Fed's balance sheet pretty much identically. Then we get a pause in quantitative easing, and then the market flatlines again. The market starts to go up, but then we get quantitative tightening. What does the market do? It spazzes out, and then we get the big stock market crash, and then the Fed says, oh, no, sorry, let's expand the balance sheet even more, and they continue this with the Cerveza sickness, and this was the taper tantrum. Sorry about that. And this is the Cerveza sickness, this gray line. And what happens then? They take the balance sheet to infinity and beyond. They announce QE infinity. They dropped rates down to zero. They basically throw everything at it, including the kitchen sink. And what does the stock market do? It just goes straight up along with the Fed's balance sheet to where it is today. So my point here is if the Fed starts reducing, if this orange line, and remember, they said that the amount of tapering or the speed at which they will taper is going to be even faster than right here in 2000, call it 18 or so. And so if they're moving even faster, that means that this line will go down at a steeper trajectory starting right here. So, I mean, if this line starts going down at a very steep trajectory, you know, to 7 trillion, to 6 trillion, to 5 trillion, 95 a month, for heaven's sakes. That's a really big deal. So again, this line starts to really go down, then I mean, would you expect the stock market to do anything else other than go down? I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can see is the government comes out with a lot more deficit spending, but who's going to finance the deficit spending? I can give you a hint. It's not going to be Russia. That's for sure. Probably not going to be China, not going to be India, not going to be Saudi Arabia. I don't know, maybe the private sector, maybe there's enough demand for treasuries that have a 7% negative real yield, but I would be surprised. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Hold on tight. It could be a bumpy ride here moving into the rest of 2022. That's for sure. And as always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.